Let's get over to the book of Malachi this morning, Malachi chapter 3. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, if you go to the New Testament and turn to your left, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And we're going to be in chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to pick up our reading in the middle of the chapter, just for sake of time. We're going to read verses 13 through 17, all right? 13 through 17 of Malachi chapter 3. After we read the Bible here in a moment, we're going to pray and ask God's blessing on the message, and then we'll have a special. We're just a few minutes late than we normally would be, but that's all right. I'll hurry through the message, and we'll finish in a good time this morning. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. And please, if you would join me on the even-numbered verses as we read through this passage, I'd appreciate that. I'm reading now Malachi 3:13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Let's pray. Dear Father, would You please use this text and Your Word today to speak to our hearts. Oh God, we didn't come just to see each other, although that's part of it. We didn't come just for music, although that's part of it. We didn't come just to give, although it's part of it. We came, Lord, to hear. We came to listen. We came to present our hearts like that soft, pliable Play-Doh we talked about last Sunday night. Lord, the kind of heart that You can impress the image of Christ upon through Your Word. So, God, we come with that kind of heart this morning, praying and asking for You to speak to us through this text. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I think of the day I met Jesus. He gave me a reason to sing. For everything changed in a moment. How I praise Him, my Savior and King. Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven, my guilt was all gone, transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moment of time.
He will take all your burdens away.
Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven. My guilt was all gone. Transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moment of time.
Everything changed.
Everything changed in a moment of time.
Amen. I'd had a personal little spell back here this morning. Amen. I was thinking, this is October the 4th. Man, I mean, 34 years ago, October 4th, 1975, I was a mess. I was a wreck. Nobody in this church would have wanted to be around my company, I can tell you that. But then a few days later, on the 15th, everything changed in a moment of time. I'm telling you, that's true. God changed my life. Amen. Saved my soul. Boy, what a difference that day made. And I hope you can claim a day like that, a day of salvation. and when God changes you. Thank you, young people. I suppose you guys appreciate that. Amen. Thank you, old fogies, for that good song this morning. Amen. I'm in trouble now. Amen. Yes, that's right. I want you to look at verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. This is gold rush days. I've been using text in our Bible Sunday morning and Sunday night that talk about gold and treasure. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight talking about treasure. And I want you to see that. He said, that day when I make up my jewels. I want to talk to you this morning about God's jewels. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for that day when you changed us. I pray, dear Lord, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice this morning who's never experienced a life-changing salvation provided through the person of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'd help them to see that need, see their need, and experience that even this morning. Lord God, it can come in that moment of time, that salvation that Jesus paid for, bled for, died for, was buried for, and then rose again for. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for us. Help me as I preach on your jewels, dear Lord. Speak to our hearts. And I'll thank you for it. Give us that liberty that only you can give. In Christ's name I pray and ask. Amen. I've often thought over the years that God's people, for the most part, don't feel near as deeply about Him as He feels about us. Now, we know all the truths that we've been taught. God loves us and God cares for us and God watches over us. But I'm convinced that we fail to comprehend just how much we are the object of God's thoughts and God's concerns. I don't think He is on our mind near as often as we are on His mind. I don't think His will and way is on our heart near as often as our well-being is on His heart. Malachi uses a term of endearment while talking about God's people. He says God referred to His people by the term, "My jewels. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Now let's get the setting of this passage. Malachi preached to God's people after the captivity was over. If you're familiar with that, the nation of Israel was taken into captivity in the land of Babylon for 70 years. And after the captivity was over, after the rebuilding of the temple, after the return by the remnant to Jerusalem, Malachi preached to that group of people. He was the last prophet to have his preaching recorded in the Old Testament. His book is not just the last book in the Old Testament. His words are the last words before there were 400 years of silence. Remember that sermon just a few weeks ago, the zone of silence? How about a 400-year zone of silence where God never spoke to His people? For 400 years. And Malachi is the last one. And right before the Jewish people received no message from God. He preached to Jews, as I said, who had returned to Jerusalem. There was a rebuilt temple. And there were rebuilt walls. And the Jews were getting back into a way of life in Jerusalem. Now listen very carefully, because this is kind of the foundation of the message. As a whole, the majority of the people had become very cynical. The captivity had not softened the most of them. It had made them hard. They were poor. They had lived difficult lives. They had lost everything. They returned to nothing. Everything was gone. And so they were hard. They were cynical. I want you to notice what God said about this group of people. Verse number 13, He said, "Your words have been stout against me." Now, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't think we want that, folks. I don't think we want to say stout words against the God of heaven. He said, "Your words have been stout against me." And they said, "Well, what do you mean? What have we said?" He said in verse number 14, "Here's what you've said. It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance?" He said, you have said it's vain to serve me. You said it hasn't profited you to keep my ordinances. It hasn't profited you to keep my ways. In fact, you've even gone as far, verse number 15, to envy the wicked people. And you envy the proud. And you feel that wickedness is the way to prosperity. Their hearts, folks, were so hard. Their hearts were so hard. I had a man say to me this week, he gave me a testimony about how that just recently God had done something wonderful in his heart and his life. And I'm talking about a man that most of us would look at around here and think that everything's fine. But he said, in my heart, I'd gotten so hard and so far, far from God. And this week, in the past couple weeks, God just has done something, man, to just bring me back into his full fellowship. And boy, he shed some tears. It was a blessing. He talked about how good it was to be back in good fellowship with God. He said, it happens so gradually, and it does. Listen to me, walking into this room three times a week is no insurance, complete insurance, that your heart won't get hard. These people have become cynical. They've become caustic. It doesn't pay to serve God. Put it in modern day vernacular. It doesn't pay me to go to church. In fact, my neighbor down the road has it better than I do, and he curses God. He never darkens the door of a church. He doesn't even have a Bible in his home. What good is it to serve God? What good is it to go to church? What good is it to give an offering? What good is it to talk to God? It absolutely doesn't amount to a hill of beans. This is what these people were saying. Now remember, folks, it was their sin. It was the sin of their forefathers. It was the reason that God had sent them into captivity in the first place. It wasn't God's fault. God had warned them, and God had given them time to repent, and He urged them, get right before judgment has to come. Get right before judgment has to come. But they would not listen. And they were punished for their own sin, and then they turned against God even further, becoming cynical and ugly and doubtful of God, and doubtful of God's way and cynical toward the ways of God. Now, that was the majority of the people. But, as always, there was another group. There was a minority. There was a remnant. And this little minority, this little remnant, they were quite different from the majority. In fact, they were peculiar. And it said in verse number 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Oh, here is the other group. Here is that minority. Here is that little remnant. Now watch this, folks. They had gone through the same set of circumstances as the others. They had gone through, they had everything taken away just like the others. They had returned to Jerusalem to find nothing just like the others. Everything was gone just like the others, but they did not allow it to make them cynical and ugly and hard and doubtful of God. Do you see that? And he says in verse number 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. The Lord heard their words. And He wrote a book of remembrance. A special book in heaven was written in heaven in order to remember what this little minority said. And not just what they said, but to remember the faith and the dedication and the fellowship that made them say what they said. They thought on the name of the Lord. And their thoughts were not full of doubt. Their thoughts were not full of cynicism. Their thoughts were not full of hardness and ugliness. Their thoughts were pleasant. And their thoughts were thoughts of honor and thoughts of praise and thoughts of worship and thoughts of love to God. In verse number 17, God said, these folks are my jewels. My peculiar treasure. My jewels. And He said there will be a special reward for their service. God called them my jewels. Have you ever said about a certain person, man, he's a jewel? You ever said that about somebody? You ever said that about somebody? Boy, she's a jewel. You know, what we mean is that there is something special, there's something unique, there's something peculiar about the people. Not peculiar in a weird sense, but there's something peculiar about those people in a precious sense. That specialness, that uniqueness, that peculiarity. It causes them to shine. It causes them to sparkle. It causes them to gleam like a jewel, like a diamond. They are jewels. Can I tell you this morning, folks, listen very carefully, that God has a lot of children, but He has a few that are jewels. He has a few that are jewels. You say, but Pastor, this is the Old Testament day, and this is talking about the children of Israel and the Old Testament. Yes, I understand that, friend. But you know that the same truth is found in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. Don't turn to it for sake of time this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. Listen to this verse. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Now watch this. And of some to honor and some to dishonor. In the same house, there are vessels of gold and silver, and there are vessels of wood and earth. And the gold and silver vessels are silver, are vessels to honor. And the wooden and the earthen vessels are vessels to dishonor. Let me ask you this morning, Christian friend, what will it be for you? Could there be a burning in your heart this morning to be one of those whom God calls His jewel? His jewel. A peculiar jewel of a Christian. God has many children, but He only has a handful or more of jewels. Will you and I be a peculiar treasure? Will we be a jewel in the eyes of God? I don't know about you, friend, but I am so thankful for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that His death, burial, and resurrection provided for us. I almost had a personal spell this morning. I mean that, friend, when I lived in my mind, relived the reality of what they sang about in a moment of time. Man, my sins were forgiven. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I became a child of God. In a moment of time, I am appreciative of that. And I would love to be considered one of His jewels. And by the way, I'm not striving for that amongst people. You strive for that in the sight of God. Does that burn in your heart this morning? Would you love to be one of His jewels? You say, Pastor, you look at me. You should have looked at me. Do I have a hope of becoming a jewel? If I have a hope of becoming a jewel, friend, you do too. I'll promise you. What does it take to become one of God's jewels? If you have a burning in your heart this morning to become not just one of His children, you're already one of His children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you'd like to become one of His jewels, that little special group. He said, write it down. I hear what they're saying and what they're saying to one another. I want you to write it down in a book of remembrance. And in that day when I make up my family, they're going to be my jewels. And I'll treat them. They'll be rewarded specifically and specially. How do we become one of God's jewels? What does it take? I get three brief thoughts for us this morning. Number one, how do you become one of God's jewels? Desire to be around peculiar people. Desire to be around peculiar people. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16, friend. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You see, there was a group in Malachi 3 who were cynical about serving God. There was a group who was cynical about obeying the Lord. There was a group who put God at a very low priority. And they complained and griped and were cynical. And then there was the other group. The group who feared God. And they were filled with reverential awe for Him. They were awed by God's love. They were awed by God's mercy. They were awed by God's grace. And the Bible says, now watch, don't miss this. It's so simple. We read right past it. They spake often one to another. How are you going to become one of God's jewels? Desire to be around peculiar people. They heard the words of the cynics. They heard the words of the doubters. They heard the words of those who disrespected God. They heard the words of those who put God at a low priority in their life. You know what they said? We're not hanging around that crowd. And by the way, that's a good choice, friend. Because we are right now, or we soon will be exactly what our friends are. So if you want to be one of God's jewels, you want to become one of His peculiar people, you've got to get around people who are peculiar. Who shines? Who has a testimony? Who has a visible life of service to God? And it's not just a monotonous thing, but there's a joy there. There's an anxiousness there. There's a love for God. And you think to yourself, man, what a jewel. Get around that kind of person. Separate from the cynics. Separate from the doubters. Separate from the people who cast doubt on the Word of God. Separate from the people who put God on a low priority. Separate. You see, in the book of Timothy, I remind you again, God put it this way, vessels of gold and silver to honor, and vessels of wood and earth to dishonor. And you know what he said? He said, you have to purge yourself of those who are wood, and purge yourself of those who are earth, and purge yourself of those who are only vessels to dishonor. You know what he's saying? He's saying, get around peculiar people. People who refuse to doubt God. People who don't be around people who talk poorly about God. Avoid them. Get around people who are cranked up about serving God. And by the way, friends, just because you come to Faith Baptist Church doesn't mean that everybody in this building is Jewel Company. See, well, I'm not sure who's Jewel Company and who's not. Just pay attention. Folks who put church and the things of God and the things of the church on a low priority, I'm not going to hang around that crowd. No. I love them and I preach to them and pastor them and visit them if I need to and pray for them. I'll take care of them best I can spiritually from the pulpit. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to hang around. I want to get around folks who are excited about serving the Lord. I'll get around some of these guys. Get around some of you fellows. Get around some of you ladies who are excited about serving God. Who have the honor of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God top shelf in your life. You want to get around peculiar people. Get around people who are excited about the things of the Lord. Look, I learned that going to Bible. I went to Bible. If you figure going to Bible college, everybody there is on fire cranked up for God. I learned real quick that's not true. And you check my record. I didn't run with those who are disinterested in the things of God. Some of my friends are still pastoring churches today. Jim Blaylock, how long has he pastored in Jupiter, Florida? And Mike Ray, pastored 20 years in Napa, California, I believe, and maybe more than that, 23 years, I forget how long. And Jack Scott over here in Hammond, Indiana, we were all roommates together. All of us. In the same dorm. And Phil Winfield is in the ministry today. He's a little different than he was back then, but he's still in the ministry today. And other guys that I was friends with, Jim Wing and Lewis Nams, we all ran together. I got around some guys who were cranked up about God. They wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to live for God. They wanted to honor God with their life. Get around peculiar people. Yeah. Get around peculiar people. Get around people who have that zeal, that fire. You know, if I am in a ditch, spiritually speaking, the natural and the easy thing for me to do is to surround myself by others who are in the same ditch. This is the problem Christians, you know, this is the problem Christians, they get in a ditch spiritually. And the easy thing to do is to find you a comfort zone with other people who are in the same ditch. And then we can all talk about how deep the ditch is, how awful the ditch is, how hard it is to get out of the ditch, how unfair it is that we're in the ditch. And we just commiserate with everybody else who's in the ditch. I don't need the company of the people who are in the ditch. What I need, Brother Bragg, is for a guy to come along. This, by the way, they stand right there. Whoop, don't get in the ditch. I don't need you if you're in the ditch with me. Amen. Job security is up there. Amen, brother. All right. If my car's in the ditch and I call a tow truck, he doesn't get down in the ditch. Now you can come down. He doesn't get down in the ditch with me to pull me out. Now we're both in the ditch. He stays up on the road where there's solid footing under his tires. And he has a cable he brings out of the winch, and I grab onto that cable and he pulls me up. You got to strain a little bit more than that, man. I wait. Amen. Okay? He pulls me up. See? And this is what I need to do, spiritually speaking. I don't need to be around people. You want to be one of God's jewels, you're going to have to make a choice in life. You're going to run with the naysayers, the doubters, the low-priority church people, the low-priority God people, the low-priority Bible people, the low-priority serve the Lord people. Or you can get around people who want to honor God, love God, serve God, and rub shoulders with them for a while. You got to get around peculiar people. Thank you very much. You got to get around peculiar people. By the way, that's something everybody can do. That's something everybody can do. Get around peculiar people. Desire to be around peculiar people. They spake often one to another. And you know what? By the way, sometimes this crowd is considered, you know, critical and ugly and unloving. I'm sure this crowd in the book of Malachi spoke to the cynics. I'm sure they showed a degree of friendliness to the cynics. But you know what they did? They made their close friendships with each other. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all understand that? Desire to be around peculiar people. Number two, if you're going to become one of God's jewels, develop some peculiar thoughts. Develop some peculiar thoughts. Look at verse number 16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, watch this, and that thought upon His name. This peculiar group of people, they thought upon the name of the Lord. Folks, you cannot become a jewel while thinking about the world and like the world and its problems and its difficulties and its wickedness. Now, we live in this world and we're a part of this world. And God's not going to... And the reason God left us here was to be a testimony to people who are in the world. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be involved in some things that we would consider the... I'm sorry. Maybe this is cynical. But it was not about the Lord. I thought that was the most hilarious thing I had ever heard in my life, that we got bounced in the first round for the Olympic Games. I mean, you got every big shot in America over there, you know, to secure this thing, and we get booted in the first round. I heard that. I started laughing. Maybe I'm cynical. I just thought that's crazy. That's hilarious. We're all over there in our pomp. My grace. I don't know. So I'm not saying you're holed up like a hermit. You don't know what's going on around you. But I am saying this. If we're going to be one of God's jewels, you got to develop some peculiar thoughts. You can't let your mind be saturated with the thoughts of this world. You got to think about God's love. Think about God's will. Think about God's word. Think about God's grace. Get God on your mind. I know you got to, you know, sometimes your work requires concentration, and that's what Brother Nemeth, says. He never got hired at the orange juice factory. He could never concentrate. How many times have I heard that over the years? And maybe your work does require that kind of concentration, but I'm going to tell you something. There are periods of your day, friend, when your mind is pretty much free to just kind of reach out and grab whatever you want to think on and think about. The reason some of you are so discouraged is because all you think about is the Cubs. It's all you think about. All you think about. Wait till next year. For the 101st year. Help. Get seriously. Can I rattle off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things? These are so practical. So practical. But don't miss this. Turn off the TV. Turn off movies. Turn off worldly music. Turn it off. I can't live without Phil and Oprah. Oprah don't care about you. When are you going to figure that out? She don't care about you. And evidently the world don't care about Oprah. Turn that stuff off. Put on some godly, decent, God-honoring music. Turn your radio station to 88.9 and keep it there. While you're in the Kankakee area, now you get away from the Kankakee, you lose the signal. But while you're in the Kankakee area, if you work in this area, at your home, turn it on 88.9. And turn that music on. Let the music, I can't say this often enough. If you're battling depression and dark, cloudy thoughts, man, get the windows, get the shades open in your house. Let the light come in. Turn some lights on if you have to. And put some good music on in the house. Yeah. Open your Bible. Read it at least once a day. Read a few chapters. You won't understand it all, but just reading it will help you think about God. Get some 3x5 cards and write you some verses down. On the 3x5 cards, put them in your vehicle and memorize them. If you have a CD or a cassette tape player, that kind of dates your car, doesn't it? If you have a, get you some good tapes of preachers. Hey, by the way, hey, listen, I could give you the names of two fellows in this church in years gone by who literally their lives were turned upside down just because on a daily basis they popped in preaching tapes or CDs in their vehicles. And boy, those things just made their heart burn. Like I said, turn the radio station to 88.9. Keep it there. Take some notes when you come to church. I am not one of those preachers. Oh, Brother House is always that. Put your pen away. Put your books away. Don't write anything. Look up here. And if you was Jack House, you could say that. I'm not Jack House. Write it all down. Amen. Write it all down. I'm not kidding. Take a pen, take your Bible, take a piece of paper. If I'm in a service somewhere where I'm not preaching, if I'm in a conference at a motel, all the time motel rooms have little pads of little note paper in the motel. I'll always put one in the flyleaf of my Bible. And when I go, the first thing I do when the preacher starts preaching, get my pen out, get my paper out. I got to have something to preach to you folks when I get home. Amen. So I got to learn something. So write down sermons. I'm serious, by the way. You say, Brother Angel, that seems so extreme, man. No TV, no worldly music, and Bible, and memorization, and cassette tapes, and CDs of music, and preaching, and 3x5 cards of memory verses, and keep notes, and look at the notes, and it seems so extreme. You have to go to extremes at times to develop the kind of life that makes God say, He's one of my jewels. She's one of my... Hey, folks, you understand that has nothing to do with money? You understand that this morning? You understand this has nothing to do with what kind of house you live in? It has everything to do with your desire and my desire to be one of God's jewels. Jewels. Desire to be around peculiar people. Desire the company of peculiar people. Develop some peculiar thoughts, some thoughts about God. How many folks do you know at your work run around with God on their mind? Not very many. In fact, their only reference to Him is usually in a profane way. Develop some godly thoughts. Number three, and I'm done. Dedicate, and this may be the most important, so simple. Dedicate to a peculiar perseverance. You want a desire to be around peculiar company. Desire the company of peculiar people. Develop some godly, peculiar thoughts. And dedicate to a peculiar perseverance. I mean, folks, look. Do you know what happens? Many people start on the road to becoming a jewel for God, a vessel unto honor. And you know why they never develop into that jewel? It's not because they didn't have the wisdom and the know-how and the money and the financial backing and all. No, no, no. They just didn't stay at it long enough. You got to stay at it and stay at it and stay at it and stay at it and stay at it. And some people, they get saved and then they jump into church. They jump into their Bible. They jump into good music. They jump into all of that. They jump into really trying to honor God with their life. And they don't stay at it long enough. Let me ask you a question. Look, if I had a big old diamond up here this morning, you understand that diamonds, that jewels, that gold, they're not harvested from the earth like you and I see it. Right? You go to a nice jewelry store in town, you see all that jewelry, and you think, my gracious, it's bright, it's gleaming, it's shining, it's beautiful. It did not come out of the earth in that condition. 95% of the time, that stuff has to be what? Purified. Processed. And refined. The most common practice of refining gold is called the Miller process. I don't have time this morning to go into all the details of the Miller process to make gold refined. But I'm going to tell you the first step in the process is called the induction furnace. It's where much of the impurity in the gold is melted away. And the gold has to go through that process to sit in the jewelry store display case. Because if gold was put there in its harvested form, nobody would even look at it. It's got to be refined and processed and put into the furnace. And Christian friend, if you're just saved, starting out in your walk for the Lord, if a new fire is burning in your heart to become a jewel for God, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take staying with it. Perseverance. Stay with it. Don't show up for a few weeks and then vanish and then come back 6 months later for a few more weeks and then vanish again. Stay at it.
I like what Wendell Evans said years ago. Christian life is not a 40-yard dash. It's a marathon. Success is not measured in days. It's measured in decades. Y'all listening tonight? This morning? I'm preaching so long it feels like this night, doesn't it? Amen. You listening? You got to stay at it. 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 And God will put us in the furnace, in the induction furnace. He'll put us in the refiner's fire. It's not time to tuck our tails and run from God. It's time to stay put. Don't leave. Serve Him. Love Him. Pray. Go to church. Listen to the right kind of music. Don't quit. Persevere. Persevere. Stay at it. That's why some of God's children never become jewels. Because they just don't stay at it. Stay at it, 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 stay at it. I read a little poem this week in preparing this message. I read in the book, one step won't take you very far. You've got to keep on walking. One word won't tell folks who you are. You've got to keep on talking. One inch won't make you very tall. You've got to keep on growing. One deed won't do it all. You've got to keep on going. Just keep at it and 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 keep at it. I see that man sitting over here, fourth pew back, Larry Johnson. I don't know what God thinks of Brother Larry. I know what I think of him. Maybe Brother Larry's in line to be one of God's jewels, one of His unique children. We see him around here today. I'll tell you, that's not how he came to us. He came to us as skinny. Skinny little old kid from Kankakee. I met his mother walking down an alley. And they got on the bus. He's been in the fire. His mother was murdered. On a Sunday morning. Things haven't always been easy for him. But he stayed at it. He stayed at it. I could point around this room this morning to other folks who just stayed at it. 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 I had family come. Remember we put up Brother Taylor's tent? Some years ago? Remember when Jennifer Griffith got saved? Got baptized in that old trough in that tent. I look back there now and I see a young lady in our church, a young mother in our church. Who knows? Maybe becoming one of God's jewels. It hasn't always been easy, but stay at it, stay at it, stay at it, stay at it, stay at it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Persevere. Stay at it. I don't know about you, but man, I'd love for God to look down one day and go, that's one of my jewels down there. Now, it's one of my jewels. Like this group right here. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They desired the company of peculiar people. That thought upon His name, they developed some peculiar thoughts. They thought about God. And no doubt dedicated to a peculiar perseverance. Through all the turmoil of that captivity, through all the turmoil of returning to Jerusalem and finding nothing, through all that difficulty, they just stayed at it, stayed at it, stayed at it. Would you like to be one of God's jewels? Huh? Man. God's jewels. Now let me say this, and I'm done this morning. You can't become a jewel until you're in the family. And I don't have time, we're done. I don't have time to tell you that religion won't put you in God's family. I don't have time to tell you that baptism won't put you in God's family. And the catechism and Baptist church member won't put you in God's family. There's only one thing that puts you in God's family, and that's the new birth. Made possible by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to become one of God's jewels, you've got to start with salvation. And after that, Why don't you say to the Lord today, God, I'd love to become one of your jewels. not for my glory, God, not for recognition amongst people, but just to honor you. I'd love to become one of your jewels. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Now, a simple message. Thank you for your attention. Please don't tune me out. Would you listen just carefully for a moment here? I wonder if there's somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I'm a saved person, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Boy, there's something in my heart. I'd love to become one of God's jewels. And friend, let me say this. We owe that to Him. He's been so good to us. He's given us so much in salvation. How dare we settle for anything less? Pastor, in a peculiar way, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning throughout the course of the message. Pray for me. I'd love to become one of God's jewels. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting this morning? God bless you. Amen and amen. Now look, that's a little, thank you, may take your hand down. That's a little ambiguous, question. But now here's what you got to do. Check your company. Do your intimate friends. Do your intimate friends honor God? Do they love God? Get around godly people. Develop some godly thoughts. Get your Bible out. Get you some Christian music. Make sure that your entertainment is Christian and decent. Develop some godly thoughts and just hang in there. Hang in there, Christian. Hang in there. Who is that, Brother Angel? I am a born-again child of God. I have had the new birth. I'm in God's family by His grace, and I know it. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand, please, if you could say that this morning? All I ask you to do is be honest. Thank you for your honesty. You may put your hand down. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I did not raise my hand. I do not know that heaven is my home. I do not know that I'm born into God's family. Would you raise your hand, please? Somebody like that here this morning. I do not know that I'm a born-again child of God. Anybody like that from side to side, front to back? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I see a child's hand. Anybody else? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Not sure that I'm in God's family. All right? Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. Haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that? Saved but not baptized. Saved but not follow the Lord in believer's baptism. All right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closing. If you're saved, baptized, you've been visiting the church, you've talked to one of us about membership, then we'd love for you to come this morning and join if that's the will of God for you. Or just come to make an appointment. Say to Brother Caleb or one of these other men, Brother Mike Bragg or Brother Mike Johnson, I want to know more about becoming a member. If you need to pray this morning, if God has spoken to your heart specifically about the company and the worldly thought processes, and so forth and so on. God spoke into your heart. The altar will be open for you. Dear Father, we pray and ask in Jesus' name that You'll take the message, use it in our hearts this morning. God, may we have a burning desire to become one of Your jewels. God, help us, please, to practice these simple matters found in this verse. Lord, may You say about us one of those days, they're my jewels. We'd love to hear You say that. Thank You, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name.